All right, Oregon coach Mark Helfrich has joined us, and the Ducks are on the road at Washington on Saturday. We'll go ahead and take questions for coach.
To ask a question, press star 1. We have a question from Dan Greenspan, NFL.com.
Morning, Mark. Two games basically without DeAnthony. What have you learned about your running game these last 2 weeks?
We've been okay. You know, we've done some good things. We've done some things that we can improve upon, both at the receiver position. I'm sorry, at the running back position, and also up front. You know, we can recognize things better. We can block things better. We can finish better. The last two games, one of them was bizarre with the conditions against Cal, and then Colorado. You change your game plan a little bit when the game goes the way that did. So a solid okay.
In terms of Thomas Tyner, how's his progression been compared to some of the other true freshmen you've had over the years?
He's been good. You know, Thomas is a guy, he's just, we just want guys to, you know, almost think of it as just either eliminating one doubt in their mind, whether it's blitz recognition or formations or alignments, just different things that kind of those guys have to just know and just be a reaction to, and then also something that he can add to his toolbox, you know, of a move or a route or something that he can do really well that now is just kind of part of his arsenal, and then just all those things together, you don't have to think about at some point, you know, and he's been a great worker. He's always worked really hard, and just really excited to watch him develop here as he just gets more and more experience.
Appreciate it, Mark. Thanks a lot.
No problem.
Your next question comes from Ruth Robbins, RealDogs.com.
Hi, Coach. Just wondering, with the departure of Colt Loyola, is there anything definitive in how the rotation will work out with Farrell Brown and Munt, or will we see pretty much what we saw last weekend in Colorado?
I think pretty much it'll be like last week, just in terms of a rotation. You know, all those guys between Farrell, Johnny Munt, Evan Bayless, and then Koa Kai at times as well, mm-hmm. are guys that have really practiced well, and I think have, you know, at some point earned some playing time. Certainly Farrow and Johnny are a little bit ahead of the other two, but Evans had a really good, about solid month of development. So again, excited about all those guys too.
Thanks, Coach.
No problem.
Your next question comes from Ted Miller, ESPN.com.
Mark, obviously I'm only able to ask this question because you guys are so dominant through three quarters, but does it concern you at all that it doesn't seem like your team gets tested very often in the fourth quarter, and it hasn't been tested in the fourth quarter this year in a close game?
I don't know. Somebody asked me that the other day after the Colorado game, and I think we just try to make every situation we're in a high anxiety situation, and then therefore a normal situation. You know, and whether that's in practice or how we do things from a noise perspective, we want our guys to be comfortable being uncomfortable. You know, that's something we talk about all the time, and it, you know, we haven't gotten to a fourth quarter. I'm good if that happens throughout the year. We'd be good staying that way. You know, we know that we're going to play a lot of different types of teams, and certainly Washington is one of those teams that presents a totally different set of challenges. I really like how our team has responded to challenges, to adversity. It hasn't borne out in a fourth quarter football situation.
So part of Oregon's deal is to eliminate distractions. You know, another big game from Marcus could make his Heisman candidacy get even bigger. I mean, obviously he's pretty high on most lists right now. How do you feel about dealing with that, with your quarterback being talked as a leading Heisman contender?
We really, you know, we don't talk about it. It's something and you know, that's why Ted Miller is such a great guy, does such a great job. That's your job. We don't sit there in the middle, you know, with, was it, I think, 8 minutes left in the Colorado third quarter. We don't go, hey, Marcus only has X number of yards and X number of whatever. Let's get him a few more. It's hey, we're in a rhythm. We're healthy. Get out. And the best part about that, again, and I know we've talked about this before, is Marcus doesn't blink. And you know, nobody on our team, when we go, hey, Braylon might score this time, or DeAnthony might score this time, or Josh might score this time, nobody pouts. And that's a rare group to be around and a fun group to be around.
And as an Oregon native who grew up around this rivalry, I know part of one of your things is the nameless, faceless opponent, but when you're standing on the sidelines of Husky Stadium looking at all that purple, are they going to be nameless, faceless opponents for real, completely 100% for you?
It has to be. You know, it has to be. And as I said the other day, you know, I understand from a fan perspective and an alumni perspective, absolutely. You know, I understand the nature of the rivalry. But from a football standpoint, it's all about preparing against, you know, our yesterday and how much better our today can be than our yesterday. And that's it. And, you know, we certainly talk about, hey, Washington has a tendency to line up like this. They have a tendency to run these plays or these defenses and these special teams looks. And, you know, that's about it.
Great. Thanks a lot, Mark.
Yes, sir.
Your next question comes from Daniel Usman, U.S. Today Sports.
Hi, Mark. You've seen many, many years of this rivalry. How does this season's matchup compare or differ from others in recent years in terms of its magnitude or intensity in your eyes?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I'm not a good measuring stick for – I don't have that measuring stick for kind of magnitude and intensity. You know, every single game you play in college football is the biggest one. It doesn't matter who you're playing. If you don't take care of that game, it doesn't matter. You know, you can't sit here and go, well, hey, if this team in this league beats that team in that league and this team in that league, you know, you start playing that game and you worry about goal line offense or goal line, you know, all the things that you have to control, you're doing your team a disservice. And that's I think, for the media, the fans, all that stuff, I totally get it. You know, and it's a great rivalry with a you know, storied history. But our part of that story history is to prepare as well as we possibly can, to play as well as possibly can.
How do you manage the team in terms of making sure that they don't sort of get caught up in the popular talk, the talk around campus, the talk in the media? How do you sort of shield them from that, or I don't know what the term would be?
Right. Yeah. I don't think in the day of. In the day of, you know, all this stuff, and I don't even know the latest abbreviation of whatever, you know, Twitter and Instagram and social media and all these things that go on, you can't shield them. But what you can do is be the same, you know, and we're preparing for Washington the exact same way that we've prepared for everybody else. And our consistency, our, you know, just commitment to trying to have that just relentless approach to getting better, our guys hopefully pick up on and grab hold of.
Got it. Thank you.
Your next question comes from Adam Jude at Seattle Times.
Morning, Mark. How are you?
It just doesn't sound right, Seattle Times. That just does not sound right.
Regarding, you know, Marcus and your recruitment of him, I think you've been credited in the past with being one of the first on him, one of the first to offer. Was there hesitation on your part early on because and he wasn't the starter there in Hawaii, or I guess what did you see early on that maybe others didn't?
I think he was just an unknown because he didn't play. You know, it was a weird, a weird set of circumstances how he had played in or behind a guy that was a scholarship quarterback to a Division I school. So it's not like it was just, you know, he was couldn't play or something. But the first time, yeah, when I saw him on film, it was he only played two or three plays of a game, and I'm kind of like, wait a second, who's that guy? And then when I went out there to watch him practice in the spring, he was just fantastic. And the more you talk to people around the high school and the football team, he just kind of took on this you know, this legendary like status of just great person, great student, all, you know, all the things that you want to hear about anybody, but certainly your starting quarterback. And then to watch him play, I can remember calling Chip and just going, this guy's unbelievable. And, you know, then we made the decision to offer him from there, and the rest, as they say, is history. But, certainly a bizarre, not your normal, you know, Elite 11, you know, all these other things, how guys kind of come up through the ranks these days, type of recruiting story.
Are there one or two things that he's done this year that, you know, improvement from last year, or where are there differences in what he's been able to do so far?
I think kind of just his leadership and his command of the offense. From a leadership standpoint, he's always been a great by example guy, but we want more than that, especially from him. And now he's taken on more of a vocal type of leadership role. And just in terms of setting the tempo or setting expectations for guys, or just communicating what the standard is in some regard, and then just his command of the offense, his presence and knowledge is exceptional.
Great. Thanks, Mark.
Yes, sir.
Your next question comes from Bud Withers, Seattle Times.
Mark, it seems like the Pac-12 is getting at least a little more respect nationally for the toughness of the league this year and so forth. Sort of separate from what it would do for, say, your program or Stanford, if it could win a national title, is that kind of the next step in grabbing some notice from the rest of the country to kind of take away from that SEC dominance?
Well, we would much prefer it if it was us and not somebody else. So let's get that straight. But no, sure. I think the SEC can rightly so kind of walk with their head high and their chest out, and until somebody does something differently to change that, then that has been how it's played out on the field. All the time, there's a lot of talk about reasons why that are out of our control. That's kind of hopefully something that is a result of again just playing our process and believing in our process, and would love that to be the end result.
And you referred to the your approach down there and the even keeled approach and so forth. Having said that, do you sense any different feeling, from your team this week? Is there any different buzz this week when you're playing Washington as opposed to when you're going back to play Virginia?
Well, our guys have practiced really hard, and I think that's the hallmark of this team, is there's a lot of great workers that show up every day trying to get better. And we want that to be consistent regardless of who we're playing.
And finally, when you were down there on the Oregon coast, braving the wind and rains growing up, what's the earliest you remember from this rivalry anyway?
Oh gosh, I remember being in the stands at Autzen when the Washington fans, at least vocally, certainly outnumbered the Oregon fans, and that was confusing. It's one of those things as a young youngster figuring things out. It's been very, very up and down, certainly in those times for the Oregon side of things, and hopefully we're going to try to do our part to keep it going.
Thank you.
We'll take one more question.
Your final question comes from John Gold, the Arizona Daily Star.
Hey, Coach. I'm doing a little story about the number of penalties in the Pac-12. I believe five teams rank 100th or worse in the country in that regard. Is that a concern to you? Is that something that you guys talk or notice?
Well, there were certainly discussions in the offseason about some of those things and kind of exactly how things were going to be officiated from that standpoint of the why of it. And then certainly from a discipline standpoint and all those things that we talk about, there's certain penalties that, your pre-snap procedural stuff, those kind of things that are discipline things or composure things that you can certainly control. Then there's, the post-play things that you can certainly control. And then sometimes during the play, we had a block in the back in the opening kickoff against Tennessee on a huge, huge play where we just have to make a better decision. Those are again kind of disciplined decision making kind of things. And then there's a few things that are just effort penalties or playing hard, and some of those things you're going to talk about. You're going to touch on and coach up, but you're not going to tell a guy to, you know, take it easy to a certain degree. You know, and we've had a couple we had a penalty called on Tyler Johnstone that was very marginal in several respects that, you know, we talked about and moved on. You know, we're not going to sit there and just wallow in it. But, you know, and then penalties don't have a huge correlation to winning and losing. The silly stuff, the discipline stuff can certainly, you know, decide drives or those things. But penalties as such, just by themselves, there's not a huge correlation there.
And, you know, the last question I have regarding that is something that Coach Dykes pointed out about, is that just the number of sheer plays that happen in this conference between UNC, their offense, UCLA's offense, now Arizona State, there's just more plays being played, so more penalties are going to happen. Do you think there's a correlation to that, or is that something you guys want to keep exploring?
Well, we'd certainly have to look at then the rate. You know, I think we just come back to the rate compared to other conferences. You know, just the penalties per play, or however, you know, whatever that formula is to work out, would be, you know, would certainly speak to that. But yeah, there's probably less delays of game and more, what, you know, whatever false starts or holds. But then I think obviously you'd have to look at the rates compared to those other conferences as well.
Yeah. Great. Thanks for your time.
No problem.
All right, that'll do it, Mark. Thanks for your time today, and good luck in Seattle on Saturday.
All right, thanks a lot. Take care.
All right, you bet. We'll see you.